So, hi everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fade In. Today it's only me and Savannah.
Hello.
I love our intro. So today we don't have any guest, but we are talking about something, in my opinion, extremely important, maybe the most important thing in screenwriting for me, structure. The three, oh my god, what is it called? No, I know I will.
This is the most important thing of.
What is it called?
Three-act structure?
Thank you. I wanted to say three-point structure. I was like, no.
Clownery.
Yeah, so that's our first topic, and then later on, if we got time, I guess we got more time, we will talk about pitch documents, like structure and character. That's like the key elements for me. What do you think?
I've always been in a weird relationship with structure, whereas, you know, some points of it are obviously important, like, you know, you have to, like, the introduction is important, the climax important, like the resolution important, but some of the stuff in there I was kind of like the all is lost and stuff like that, I was like, do you really need that in like every single movie? Like, it just becomes repetitive, but I guess that's the point of structure. But I feel like, in my opinion, characters are more important, as well as pacing. Like, you know, structure I guess sets up a pace. But I feel like as long as you're pacing properly and you're writing, it's, you know, the structure can be changed a little bit, just as long as you're getting to where you need to be at certain, like, page points. But, yeah, like, I hope I explained that properly.
I want to say something to that. It's funny that you name for All Is Dust, because for me personally, I freak out if movies don't have a clear all is lost. Because for me, it's just, in the structure, for me, it's so important because after the all is lost, I know they get like a new plan, new hope, and, you know, we are heading for the climax. And, you know, for me, the all time lost can't like be like one line. It can't be like, oh, I think we can't do that. We won't survive. And then our friend says, we have to do it. And then, you know, the other person is like, oh yeah, you're right.
Damn, I didn't think of that.
I'm freaking out. I don't know, that's, but we'll come to that. That was just funny that you said that. You know, sometimes when I read scripts without a structure, it feels more like a documentary, you know?
Yeah. And I get that. I just, something that started happening to me, and I know they mentioned it at school, they're like, you're never going to be able to watch movies the same again or any of that stuff. And it's true. And I was watching this movie the other day. It was that Thunder Force or whatever it is on Netflix. It's not very good. I would not recommend it. But like, I love Melissa McCarthy, but it just, yeah, it wasn't great. But you just, the entire time, like, I guess it kind of plays into, even when I was a little kid, you know, you'd go to watch Disney movies or something, and you'd get to the All Is Lost, and you'd be like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? But then you're like, you know what's gonna happen, there's gonna be a happily ever after. And it's like, sometimes you get tired of that, and that's what kind of, with structure, is it almost spoils the movie without even wanting to, because you're like, you know that everything's going to end up the way it's supposed to, even though they try to mess with your emotions, and the all is lost, and you're like, oh no, it's like, you know that they're going to come back together, because it happens in every single movie. So I kind of like those movies that, you know, go off of that path, like, you know, that beaten path of that, because, you know, it's unexpected, and you're like, wow, like, that was, I didn't see that one coming, because in every other movie, you're like, oh, the characters got in a fight, and now they're not talking, and it's like, but you know they're going to come back together, and they're going to solve it, and it's like, yeah, that's fun and all, but it's just, I don't know, it's just so overdone, because that's the norm, and that's where, like, structure, I feel like, you know, obviously, structure is important, but I think that some movies should step out of that so that it is kind of like that unexpected, because we all know like Disney owns the, like, you know, not like actually owns, but you know that if you're seeing a Disney movie, it's gonna be the happily ever after thing. Like, it's everything's gonna end up right. Yeah, the parents probably died, but you know, things work out for the protagonist in the end. And it's like, I want to see a movie where, you know, the villain wins or the protagonist is like murdered in the end or something, and you're like, what the fuck, like, I didn't see that coming. And it just, you know, it changes it, so you're not sitting there like, I already know how this is gonna end, so now I'm kind of bored. Feel me?
Yeah, but I don't think it's an issue of a structure. I think that's an issue of the story itself. Because you, instead of an all-time low, you can have like a, what did it called? Like a fake victory that you think, oh yeah, we won, but then everything goes to hell and the film got a bad ending. You know, and the protagonist can, I really want to see more movies where the villain wins. That's my, because we have seen, maybe it's not really like right for, you know, the theme and everything, but we have seen, like you said, so many movies who are like, okay, the protagonist wins, everybody's happy, maybe, you know, his friend died at the all-time lost again. But I really want to see more movies where, you know, the villains win. Just because, yeah. Like, that will be great. But yeah, I think that's an issue of the story. And today's, you know, like today's film industry, because I think they also said at BFS, what did they say? Yeah, I think about like messages and theme. And if a villain wins, it's not a good message, kind of. And therefore, not a lot of movies, that kind of movies, are produced. And I think that sucks.
Yeah. And like, you know, you're getting me started on theme again. And I always go on a rant when it comes to theme, because it's like, it's necessary, but it's not. Like, and they're like, okay, that was, like, enjoyable, but what was the theme? And it was like, who the fuck cares? Like, you know, yeah, if it's a children's movie, put a theme in there, because kids gotta learn. But there's no time where I sit down for a movie, and afterwards I'm like, wow, that really tackled that theme. Like, that's not what I watch movies for, and I don't know, theme just gets me going. Like, the end of, did you ever watch those, like, the recent Avengers movies?
You know, I see some of them some at some point. I can't tell you, like, the titles, but, you know, some of them.
Well, you know, like, there was that one that ended where it was, like, the two-parter one, but it was where, like, Thanos or whatever the hell his name is, he like snaps at the end and everyone like disappears, and that's how that movie ended, and everyone was like, what the fuck, like, everyone's dead. And like, that would have been such a, like, you know, if they just would have ended it there and they're like, yeah, we killed a bunch of them, it would be like, Jesus Christ. But you know, they're gonna bring them all back in the end, and they did, and you're like, yay. But like, superhero movies are on the same level as, you know, Disney movies, where you know how it's gonna end before it even starts. Like, they're gonna win, and somebody's gotta give the bad boys a chance. Like, especially if, like, they're, like, I guess there's, like, the anti-heroes and stuff, but, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess an example is, like, you know, the Joker movie. Because he technically, I don't even know what the hell to call him, because he wasn't really a protagonist, but he wasn't, like, he was an antagonist. I don't know what the hell he was, and I think that's why I like that movie so much, is because it broke so many norms. But, you know, yeah, he gets arrested at the end, but at the end he, like, escapes, and he's off to go be fucking crazy again, and it's like, yeah, he's the bad guy. I guess it was because it's, like, a villain origin story, but, you know, that was a good movie, because you're like, you know, you didn't really know how the hell that was going to end. And, you know, I enjoy it. I'm trying to think about the structure of that movie, too. Like, Again, there is a pretty clear all is lost in that one. It goes nuts. But yeah, like, we need more movies like that where it's like, you know, it's not all like, yeah, go protagonist, everything is great. Like, Seven was a good one, you know, because he, at the end, like, that was unexpected, where he shoots the guy and he's not supposed to. Like, usually it's supposed to be like, oh, the theme is that he's stronger and he's not going to come to that, but he doesn't. He shoots the guy as he should. But, like, that was different because you're like, oh, shit, he actually did it. And, like, you know, there's not enough movies, I think, that really do that, where it's like, you're kind of like, oh, shit, like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I always feel the same, you know, when the good protagonist, you know, in a movie got the chance to kill the antagonist. And he doesn't do it because, you know, he believes in the good in humans. And I'm like, you fucking idiot, shoot him in the head, because otherwise he will come back and kill your girlfriend or your mother or, you know, both of them. I don't know.
And they do. And you're like, dumbass. Yeah. Or like, if somebody murdered my entire fucking family, I wouldn't show up and be like, I'm better than you, so I'm gonna let you walk away and just think about what you did. I'd be like, you're gonna go murder some other family. Like, you're obviously a bad person and somebody needs to deal with that. Like, it just, yeah, they're like, oh, I'm taking the moral high ground, but it's like, well, that family's dead, bro. Like, you know, yeah, you at the end you get to say, I didn't succumb to my anger, but your family's dead.
I really identify with a villain often and his past and kind of issues and motivation. I always got the problem, people make villains not evil.
Are you trying to say, like, you know, where something tragic or something understandable happened to them when they were, like, kids or teens or something that kind of shaped them into what they are, so them being a villain is understandable and you can't be mad at them?
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing. If there would be, like, 5 men in front of my house and they say, I want to kill your family, would I say, oh, yeah, they're in the living room? No, I would try to kill them, of course. You know, like, and that's the same, yeah. Like, and that's the problem nowadays, that I'm always on the villain's side because he's right, basically.
Like, there's obviously some villains where you're like, you were not in the right, Hitler. Like, you're homie, you didn't have a reason for that.
What does that to do with nowadays movies?
There's movies about Hitler. But, you know, there's obviously, like, the villains that you can't side with. You're like, you're a bad person. But, like, most of them you can. And I just find them so much more interesting than the hero a lot. Because the hero, they usually, yeah, they're like, oh, I'm living up to my family's legacy. Or I'm doing this. And you're kind of like, okay, congratulations. Whereas, like, the villain, you're like, damn, homie, like, you know, just watching them break. And you're like, that's understandable why you're doing that. And, like, one of my favorite tropes is villain turned kind of anti-hero, where they started out as, like, bad. You're like, you're a shitty person, but you've got some trauma in there. But, like, over time, like, you know, they kind of break away from that evil and they start kind of healing themselves and they become, you know, maybe they're helping out the hero, maybe that they're not as bad as they once were, and you were like, okay, like, you're redeeming yourself a little bit, you're trying. And, like, I think that's what kind of helps determine whether a villain it can stay likable, because, you know, if they just try not to improve themselves whatsoever and they just keep getting more and more evil and crazy and shit, you're kind of like, okay, you're losing a little bit of my love for you, because you're losing relatability, I guess, because, you know, you're just becoming horrible. But, you know, if there's still kind of like that part of them where you're like, you're just really suffering and you're pissed. And it's like, I understand you, but, like, you know, you can try to be a little bit better when you realize that some people are more evil than you. Like, it's usually the, like, second in command that does it or something, or the henchman or whatever, where it's like, they realize that the, like, mega villain, like, the boss villain is, like, past being saved. Like, they're terrible. They gotta die at the end of the movie. But, like, these guys are kind of like, you know what? I got into this because I was really mad and upset, but now I'm seeing that we're taking this too far. And, you know, those are kind of, like, my favorite villains because they stay relatable. Because, like, you know, obviously, like, let's say somebody murdered my entire family. I'm gonna go after the people that did it, but I'm not gonna go after the entire world and be like, humanity deserves to die because they killed this, some guy decided to go mental and kill my family. But, you know, and so that's kind of where the villain stays relatable or not. Because if they start just killing children and animals and shit, you're kind of like, okay, you're taking this way too fucking far now and you gotta calm down. Or, like, I guess an example, this is on that fucking Thunder Force movie that wasn't great, but it wasn't, I don't know. So, what is that guy's name? Jason Bateman or something? He's in all those kind of comedy movies, but he's a bad guy. Spoiler alert, I don't know who's gonna be upset about Thunder Force being spoiled, but, like, spoiler alert, this guy, like, Jason Bateman's character, he's one of the bad guys, but the mega bad guy starts, like, treating him like shit and, like, you know, trying to kill him and shit when he's not, like, obeying. And so he's kind of like, what the fuck? So he starts, and then he kind of falls for the hero girl, but he's, like, slowly, and then he helps the heroes at the end kill the bad guy because he's like, you took this too far and you started turning on me. And now I'm like, you know, the heroes are in the right here. And, like, that was, like, you're instantly like, I like that guy because, you know, did the right thing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I spoiled Thunder Force for you.
Oh no, I wanted to see that tonight. I think that's my problem with the Marvel movies, with Avengers. I mean, the action is really good, and I just watched Civil War. It was really good, especially that twist at the end. I love twists. But my issue is they are just too perfect. You know, they are like the good protagonists, you know, they are the heroes and everything. And that's why I love Loki so much, because he is, you know, he is this traumatized villain, but not an evil villain. He just, you know, misunderstood and broken, kind of. That's why I love him so much.
Yeah, like, he did some bad shit, but, you know, he's also, like, with Loki, you never know if he's gonna be the good guy in the movie or the bad guy. Like, it's constantly switching. And so you're like, okay, like, you know, you don't, and then he dies for, like, the fifth time, and he keeps coming back. And you're like, is he actually dead this time? But, you know, I fucking love Loki. I'm so excited for that, like, show that's coming out about him.
Me too. I'm afraid that I will not understand a thing because I kind of know nothing about the universe. But
yeah, I feel like as long as you saw the first Avengers, you'll kind of know. Because, like, I think it takes place when he escapes from there. Because, like, did you see, like, Avengers Endgame or whatever the hell, when Loki, like, they go back in time and then Loki, like, takes the Tesseract and escapes? And that's kind of, I think, where the show comes from, is because he goes into an alternate timeline or something. So I don't know if anybody's going to understand what's going on, because it's supposed to be like he's messing with time. So I don't know. I'm just excited to see my boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stop. Okay. But maybe we should talk about what we wanted to talk about.
Oh God, this went on to a villain thing. I mean, hey, who doesn't want to hear about villains?
Mm-hmm. Who are our favorite villains? I mean, we have Loki.
Kylo Ren's a big one for me. That really fucked up his ending.
Why don't you like it?
Did you? Just because he fucking dies. I was like, oh, y'all did, yeah. So, like, that's the worst. I hate that in movies when they're like, we're going to redeem this. And they're like, oh, well, that's, like, the ending. Like, but it's like, no, okay, I completely disagree with that message. Here's another rant. They're like, oh, you know, because he was a bad guy and he did bad things, he also has to meet his end. That's not fucking true, because he turned good. And so that's just, why would a villain want to turn good if they're just gonna fucking die? Like, they should get another chance. And homie deserved another chance, especially after his mom gave her life to keep him alive. And then, like, 2 hours later, he dies too. It was like, what? I'd be pissed if I was the mom. I'd be like, bitch, like, you were supposed to do a lot better than that. And, like, it just, yeah. Like, I was kind of like, you spent so much time redeeming him just to off him in the end. And it was like, and he didn't even get a funeral or nothing. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm mad. That movie, I was not with it. But who are your favorite villains?
Just talking about that one, it was so funny because it became like a Christmas tradition for my for me and my brother to go to the cinema to watch Star Wars, because it always came out like the last years on Christmas, you know. Then we watched this movie, and the only thing, like, I'm not a huge like Star Wars fan, but I thought it was really cool, and but I don't know, like, I'm not a, you know, big fan, and I only wanted them to kiss. And it was the only thing, like, the whole movie.
Same, I was like, bitch! I was so happy when they did, and we're gonna get cancelled for that one. Well, not cancelled, but, like, I remember, I was thinking about this the other day, because back when, like, the first Star Wars movie, like in this one, like, with Kylo Ren and stuff, and Rey were coming out, and even in, like, The Force Awakens, you could tell there was some, like, you know, romantic shit going on, and I was, like, shipping them. Like, I was on Tumblr and shit, and I was, like, it's called Raylo, and I was a part of that fandom, and people were so mean. They'd be like, you deserve to fucking die. That's such an abusive relationship. It's never gonna happen, you fucking losers. And I stayed true, bitch. I stayed, and then I got what I wanted in the end, because they kissed, and then he fucking died. And I was like, bitch. At least they kissed, I guess. But, like, yeah, I'd been waiting for it. I was like, you know, I kind of wanted them to fuck, but I knew that wasn't gonna happen in a story. I lost my shit laughing though when he she's like force calling him or whatever the fuck, and he turns around and he's like shirtless, but he's built like, yeah, a fucking rectangle.
Yeah,
I did it. His pants were way too fucking high, bro.
I think that's the only two scenes I actually remember, like him shirtless and then the kiss. I think that's the only thing I remember of Star Wars, and that's the best.
Yeah, I mean, true, but yeah, those movies were all right. I just resent it for Kylo, but there were other villains though.
Yeah, I don't know if I, like, right now I can't think of. You know, I have a big crush on a villain in Shadow and Bones, and like I said, like, he shouldn't be, like, he is no real villain, so that's why I like him so much. And yeah, like, I know it's based on a book series, as kind of everything right now in today's film industry, and I'm freaking out about that. Yeah, I would have, but that's me. I would have liked to see a different storyline in the end between him and the protagonist. But, you know, that's just me. And, you know, this toxic relationship, I love that, between the villain and the protagonist, you know, between the dark side and the light side.
People go nuts when you say that, because they'll be like, oh, like, you know, again, it's abusive and stuff, but it's like, it's just so hot. Like, when the bad guy and the, like, good person are, like, trying to get it on, I'm like, that's, I like that. It's hot because they're helping change them.
It's really, like, I'm like, you know, I love Effie Hickman in a movie, and it's so bad because they just kill people, and I'm like, please marry me.
No, and like that whole trope where it's like they hate everyone but you, and I'm like, yeah, like, even though, like, that ass, if I ever met like some villain in real life, they probably wouldn't hesitate to kill me, but like, because they'd be like, you're just another person. Yeah. But in my fantasies, they love me, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's, I think that's actually the dream of every girl, even if nobody really, or if many people don't say it, but I think, like, that's the dream, you know. He hates all other people, he kills them, but he, you know, protects you and loves you, and, oh, so cute.
Beautiful. give anything for that.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's why I write all this. I mean, I don't like, you know, romantic movies, but that's like all the love story in my scripts is always, you know, the bad guy and, you know, the good girl who often turns kind of bad, you know. But because, like you said, that's way more interesting, you know, like we don't want a good protagonist. We want a good protagonist fall in love with a, like, bad villain, and then, you know, she becomes bad. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just, yeah, you're tired of seeing the same old thing. And, mm-hmm. like, I'm looking at these movies. There's an insane amount of DVDs in this room that I'm in. And I'm, like, looking over all the titles, trying to think if there's any here that something to talk about when it comes to, like, villains and shit. There's a bunch of movies I've never seen.
You know, I just Google the hottest villains in movies.
Did you ever see the movie Venom?
Yeah, it was so cool. I love it. Is there a second one? I don't know, but I love it because I love the monster.
Yeah, the second trailer just got released.
Oh, yes. Finally. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I really love the monster and spoiler, but I was so happy that the monster survived. Like in the end, you know, the last scene, I was like, yeah.
I love him so much. There's people that are sexually attracted to Venom. One of them.
Yeah, no, please, okay. I think that did get us cancelled, but...
Hey, no, I'm not the only one. It's like a full thing.
Oh, yeah, I just wanna, you know, there are a lot of good movies now, because, like, in the last months, I have not found anything, like, on no streaming service, like, nothing. I saw, like, one good movie in 1 month, like, it was terrible. But no, actually, Netflix came out with some good stuff, for me, at least. I saw Love and Monsters. It's really funny. I love it. And have you seen the trailer for Love and Monsters on Netflix?
I haven't, but I had some girl on a dating app tell me about it. So, like, I've like heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. That was okay. Why are you? First of all, watch it because it's really funny. It's really cute. It's really cute and monsters and the ending is and character art. There we can talk about character art. I love that. Watch it. But yeah, why are you talking about Love and Monsters like on a dating app?
I don't even know. She like randomly just decided to tell me about what movie she was watching, and that was one of them. And I was like, I've never heard of it. And then she started telling me about it.
Yeah, and this month, like in 1 week, there's coming out some new zombie apocalypse film on Netflix, but a really new one. It seems in the trailer that the zombies got some kind of relation, you know, because in other movies they're just really, you know, like dead crazy people. But here yeah. It seems there's something else. And one of Germany's most famous actors playing it. He got a role, a part in it. That's really fun.
Did you ever see Warm Bodies?
Yes.
That was a good movie. Like that mm-hmm. zombie man?
Yeah. You have a crush on him?
I do. He's beautiful. I never came out with a second one. There's a second book, but it wasn't as good as the first one.
Oh. Yeah, that's all of this. Yeah, like, that's really the trend, like, only books are, like, made into movies and TV shows. I mean, good for the authors. I mean, it's really great for them, you know, it's just... And something interesting I saw now on Netflix the last, like, couple of weeks and months, you know, normally we got 10 episodes, but now all new shows on Netflix are only 8 episodes, and the running time are really different. Like everything, like one of them was like one episode is like 45 minutes, minutes, and then the other episode is 58 minutes. You know, like, it's really crazy nowadays. Like, you can do on Netflix, for example, or, like, on streaming services, you can do whatever you want. Like, some episode is 45, then it's 160, then 130, you know? And as it seems, like, the new format is, like, 8 episodes. Also, like, on HBO and everything, and not 10 episodes. That's interesting, actually.
Yeah. No, I've noticed that. But, I don't know, Netflix, they've got, like, some good stuff, but, like, I've noticed they've been falling off a little bit, and they gotta get back in their game, because for a while, they were at, like, their peak, like, everything they released was, like, really good, but now, like, it's like you were saying, like, it took so long to find, like, a good movie and stuff, and it's, like, they're just making weird shit now, and, like, the fucking Hype House show, and they just, I don't know, like, I feel like if you're gonna keep up with, like, services, you know, like, Disney Plus and stuff, you gotta, like, up your game.
Yeah, my issue is, like, okay, and HBO, I know, found The Flight Attendant, because everybody like, freaking out about it. Don't spoil it. I'm only on the third episode.
I've only watched, like, the first four episodes, but I enjoyed the first four.
Yeah, yeah, but otherwise, I haven't found anything on HBO. Like, Disney is nothing for me, you know, and so I'm just happy that Netflix got some new movies now. And then we got the new season of Castlevania coming out this month. So, like, Netflix is, like, quite good right now at the moment. It looks really good. And it doesn't look like that they have this awkward sex scene again, so I'm really happy about that.
Not the sex scene.
So, I guess that's everything for today's episode. It was a lot of fun. Maybe we didn't talk about the things we wanted to talk about, but hey, we talked about sexy villains, so I think that's fair.